Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush Monday, the miniest edition of all.
Tiny, tiny, tiny crushes on a Monday. That's all I got. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here, Chuck. I don't know what I'm doing.
What is that?
It was a little song I made up, but it wasn't very inspired.
Oh.
But
sounded like a cartoon theme.
Well, I appreciate that, Chuck. Our good friend and compatriot Miranda came up
She's
with...
She's great.
She accidentally coined... an amazing phrase. It's flying. No, it's getting by the fly of my seat.
I need to have her on the show. What am I doing? Miranda's awesome. I don't even know her that well, so that'd be a good chance to get to know her better.
You can ask her about her little aphorisms, like by the fly of your seat.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note. Mm-hmm. Noel Miranda. Mm-hmm. Miranda Hawkins.
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
All right, Noel, we're going to go ahead and just jump right in here. This week we have a couple of things to go over, and one of them bears a little bit of explanation, I think, in that I asked the Crushers what their favorite meet cute is. Do you want to define meet cute, and then I'll go over the history a bit?
I just defined it to somebody very recently, so I'm fresh with this terminology. It's a dramatic device wherein a bond is established between the audience and a couple to be because they run into each other and encounter each other in a quirky or memorable way.
Yeah. There you go.
It can be, they accidentally ran headlong into each other and fell down on their butts. And maybe there was a moment where they were upset, but then they caught the glint in each other's eyes and it all was, you know, downhill from there.
Meet cute. It's a Hollywood tradition. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this straight from Wikipedia, Noel, because that's something we're not allowed to do. Well, we choose not to do.
Also true.
On Stuff You Should Know. We don't even use Wikipedia, but I don't care about using Wikipedia for this.
No, transparency, my friend.
The origin of the term is unknown, but appears to have been familiarly... oh, God.
Is this why we don't read from Wikipedia, Chuck?
Familiarly. That's a hard word to say.
It is. Familiarly, it is really hard. It's got a lot of weird, like,
familiarly.
What's the word? Vowel, like, roller coastery things in the middle.
I hate that word.
It's not good.
They could have just said associated. With Hollywood screenwriting by at least 1941, earliest example given to the Oxford English Dictionary is Anthony Boucher's mystery novel, The Case of the Solid Key, in 41, in which a character says, "We met cute," as they say in story conferences. As this example implies, the term was already well known. And in a 1996 Paris Review interview, Billy Wilder, great screenwriter, referred to his 1938 screwball comedy film, Bluebeard's Eighth Wife. And these characters meet while shopping for pajamas. One is looking for a pajama top, the other a pajama bottom. That kind of personifies the meet cute. He says that concept was a staple of romantic comedies back then. And George Axelrod's play, Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? A character explains, "Dear boy, the beginning of a movie is childishly simple. The boy and girl meet. The only important thing to remember is that in a movie, the boy and the girl must meet in some cute way." Mm-hmm. They cannot meet like normal people. All right.
Well, that's like I said, I mean, it's because it makes it memorable for the audience and it implies, you know, everybody, what does everybody want out of a relationship? They want some kind of quirky, you know, stars align kind of magic. And that's how you establish that from the start, right?
Yeah. And I think it's also a bit of a screenwriter challenge to come up with something good that no one's seen before and good that really hooks people and you immediately want these people to get together. Like when Harry Met Sally, their meet cute was the fact that they were paired together to drive to New York and didn't like each other very much.
Right.
I've written a meet cute or two in my day and it's a challenge. It's not easy to write a good one because they all seem kind of canned and hokey.
Agreed.
Or they can seem that way.
Yeah. And I don't know. The term meat cute just makes me think of cute meat for some reason. Just like a really cute slab of beef.
Oh, good Lord.
You ever seen the movie Dead Alive, the early Peter Jackson movie with the lawnmower?
Yeah, I saw it back in college.
Well, there's a part where like there's like a animated piece of meat that keeps popping up, and at one point it's looking at itself in the mirror and kind of preening. I always think of that as the quintessential cute meat.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, they are tough to write, because what I think you really also depend on, it's got to be good writing and stuff, but the performance has got to be there. You know,
totally,
or else you're doomed. All right, we're going to start it off with Lillian Rolf, probably really cheesy, but Anna and Kristoff's early scenes from Frozen, not cheesy, great meet cute,
totally.
Great movie.
But isn't that exactly that? Don't they like bumble around a little bit, or like they there's like a fall, like a pratfall of some sort when they meet, like involving the reindeer.
I'm trying to think somebody of a pratfall. Slips. Molly Thibodeau comments and says, absolutely. He calls her insane, too. Yeah, it is good stuff. Mm-hmm. They were friends first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. Let me see here. Courtney Hoover says, you've got mail when Tom Hanks takes his aunt and little brother to meet to the street fair in the children's bookstore and meets Meg Ryan. The little brother can spell F-O-X because that's his name, not the animal. Can you spell dog? F-O-X. That was very cute.
And what sound does the fox make? No one knows.
Benjamin Clement says, Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger in 10 Things I Hate About You and Helena Norton Pitt in Fight Club. That was David Fincher's version of a meat cute.
That's what I'm saying. More like a cute meat, you know, if you ask me.
Yeah, but also with, you know, it's not a traditional meat cute. He had his own spin on it, which was they were going to... I think the first one was like a cancer.
Yeah, it was
meeting,
cancer.
Right?
And then there was Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, like Narcotics Anonymous and all that kind of stuff.
Sadie Broilette says, Han Solo and Princess Leia, into the garbage chute, flyboy. Great idea. What an incredible smell you've discovered. Yeah, that's good stuff, too. I know you hate Star Wars, but.
I don't hate Star Wars.
I know you love Harry Potter more than Star Wars.
I don't love Harry Potter. I'm firmly in the middle with both of those. I really like The Mandalorian, though.
I have still yet to start the new season. It's happening soon. Are you fresh? Are you caught up?
Not all the way. There's apparently some big shit that happens in the last two episodes that I haven't seen, but I really quite like
it. All right. Can't wait. Becca Liu says, the explanation of a meet-cute scene in The Holiday between Kate Winslet and Eli Wallach is just the sweetest scene. I think it qualifies as a meet-cute. Yeah. I agree. And you know what? I'll go out here and say it, Noel. I liked The Holiday.
The Holiday. I don't know The Holiday. Is this a holiday film?
Kate Winslet, yep. And Jack Black and Cameron Diaz and Jude Law. They do one of those house swaps.
Ah.
Cami Diaz is an actor in L.A., and she swaps house with an English countryside cottage mm-hmm. with Kate Winslet. And they both end up falling in love in their respective places, and it is actually a very, I hate saying this, but it's a very cute romantic comedy. I liked it.
Great. The Holiday. From 2006?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Classic already, okay.
I mean, good actors.
Oh, definitely. Have you seen, we should probably save this for a stream this segment, but there's a new series on HBO with Jude Law in it called The Third Day. And it's sort of like a Wicker Man culty kind of thing. It's a miniseries. And it's Jude Law really kicking ass. It's really, really good. Very physical role. If you're into spooky shit, highly recommend The Third Day.
All right. I'll check that out. Kelly Ferris Mark says, Bridget Jones's Diary, when Bridget and Mark meet while she's wearing her mom's outfit and he's wearing a ridiculous Christmas sweater. Yeah, that was good. These make me happy, Noel. That's what the meat kid's all about.
Yeah. Making Chuck happy. The device was invented exclusively to make Chuck happy.
Make people happy. I'm a people.
You are a people.
Brittany Story, one of our oldest pals, says, Little Women, 1994 version. Joe clumsily stumbles into Laurie while trying to escape a party, and it was pretty adorable. Fast forward to a few minutes later when they are dancing like fools behind the scenes after realizing they had an instant connection. Winona Ryder and Christian Bale were so charming and had the best banter in this adaptation.
I still haven't seen the new one, which everyone really loved, the Greta Gerwig one. Did you see it?
I did. I loved it.
You loved it. I remember that. And I really want to see it. That'd be a good holiday movie, right? That'd be a good family kind of holiday movie.
Yeah. There's a little Christmas action going on in there,
maybe
I think.
Maybe I'll do that.
I wouldn't say it's a Christmas movie, no. But I believe there is a Christmas.
But it is a feel-good movie, though, right? It's nothing like super depressing happens. Like, there's ups and downs.
No. there's a pretty devastating
really?
Part.
Oh, yeah. Forget it, then.
But it's good. What are you thinking about watching, like, for your family this holiday?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's. I'd say throw it on the list.
Everything turns out okay in the end, though, right, Chuck?
Well, for most of
nobody
them.
Nobody dies of the consumption, do they, Chuck?
Not of consumption.
Oh, God.
No, there. I don't want to spoil stuff.
Please don't.
No,
please don't.
There are some sad parts.
Okay, got it.
One very sad part. Mm-hmm. Amanda Grossman says, Serendipity. I never saw that one. That's the John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale thing. She says, I love that movie and the idea of everything happening when it's supposed to. And I mean, Kate Beckinsale and John Cusack aren't bad either. Mm-hmm. Them meeting over the last pair of gloves in the store while last minute Christmas shopping is such a meet cute. Okay. That's a great example.
Totally. That's exactly right.
And they both reach for the gloves.
They reach for the gloves. And at first, maybe there's a little consternation where it's like, hey, these are my gloves. Sorry, I was here first. And then before you know it, they start up a conversation. And again, and to your point too, Chuck, with when Harry Met Sally, a lot of times these meet cutes start with like the characters hating each other. And then it gives you somewhere to go. Otherwise, it's like boring. If it's love at first sight.
Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
Right.
I mean, they didn't hate each other, but she thought he was very annoying.
Right.
I thought Harry was very annoying. Mm-hmm. 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 I wonder if at any point in that meet cute with Serendipity, if they thought about splitting those gloves up and each getting a glove. That'd be pretty cute.
That'd be pretty cute, but not very functional, Chuck. It's very cold in New York.
No, but the scene is, that scene ends with them walking down the goddamn sidewalk, holding hands with the gloved hand and their other hand in each of their own pockets.
Oh,
how cute is
that?
That's
really cute.
They really dropped the ball. Or if you want to get even sexier, you can do that 70s, 80s thing where you put your hand in the back pocket of your mate.
No, but I would argue that's too quick for them to be holding hands, Chuck. Where are we going to go from there? Straight to intercourse? I mean, come on.
Straight to hardcore banging, Noel.
Oh, goodness.
No, that's true. That is a good point. But maybe that happens later on,
yeah.
You know, with the gloves.
Yeah. Yep.
I wrote that first, everyone. Oh, I bet you it's been used.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it.
Vanessa Bintu says, I would say True Romance. Oh, yeah. The scenes inside the cinema and then in his house are great. Yeah, that was great. Those early scenes with Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen that. I don't really remember much plot stuff from that.
Oh. I need to get someone in here to do that movie.
Yeah, it's good.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say I've got another good one that I watched for the first time in many years the other night, The Fisher King, which is, I think, one of Terry Gilliam's best because it encompasses all of his weird shit, but also all of his like more accessible sensibilities into like one movie. It's not so dark that it's unpleasant, and it's not so like, you know, romancy or that it's trite, but Robin Williams' character who plays this like this homeless man, he's in love with Amanda Plummer's character, who's this quirky office worker, kind of sad loner, and he's basically stalking her, but it's adorable because he's really genuinely in love with her, and that's kind of, it's not really a meet cute, but it's sort of like he's preparing for it. Like he's watching her and he knows exactly her routine. And then eventually,
very sweet.
Eventually there is an arranged meet cute where he is like posing as a video store worker at this video store that Jeff Bridges' girlfriend runs, and they make it where she wins some competition and she comes in and he's the video store clerk. And they're like, she's looking for a movie on the shelf, and they both keep knocking all the video boxes off the shelf and scrambling. That's a meet cute, even if it's like organized.
Totally.
That's definitely a meet cute.
No, it totally is. Maddie and I crushed that one out not too long ago. Maddie Frederick, it was really good.
It's your partner. Fabulous, fabulous movie.
Michael Fang says, Out of Sight with Clooney and Lopez in the trunk of that car talking about movies. Beautiful scene. Yeah, that is, that's less cute. And the Gooch, David Gooch points that out. I think it still counts in that category, but it's just not super cute. It is hot.
Hot. I was about to sexy. Say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That there's some parts in that movie that are, the chemistry is quite intense between the two.
Yeah,
characters.
But a great, great scene. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Is that a Soderbergh? It's a Soderbergh, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, okay, yeah. I haven't seen that since it came out.
Oh, dude, do yourself a favor and see it again.
I will.
Do a double bill with that and The Limey, which I know you haven't seen yet.
I have seen The Limey.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. I thought you did not. Did you see it recently?
No, I saw it a long time ago.
All right, I'm misremembering.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it for a long time, and then this girl that I dated for a while, it was like one of her favorite movies, and she had it on DVD, and we watched it, so I quite liked it.
I think Josh hasn't seen The Limey. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
That might be it.
Fox Matthews says Gene Wilder and Jill Clayburgh in Silver Streak. Love the line, I know what goes where and why.
Is Silver Streak one of those Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder vehicles? And it's literally about a train, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, but it is about a train, I think. It features a train heavily. Amy Crouch says, I like the Big Sick when she heckles him during his show. Yeah, Big Sick was great.
So good.
I love that.
Oh, and I don't want to be that guy, the schlubby, you know, podcast guy that's upset because normal looking comedian is now fucking.
Oh, you always complain
iron.
About him. You got to give that up, Noel. He got in shape. Good for him.
All right, Kamal, he can have this. I'm proud of you, Kamal.
Yeah,
I'm letting you go.
He really cares.
I know he does. He listens.
He's like, I'm a millionaire now and I'm super fucking hot. Screw you, schlubby podcast guys.
It's me, schlubby podcast guy.
No, us guys.
You're right, us guys.
We're coach schlubs.
It's true.
I'll never look like that, Noel. I mean, I want to drop some weight, but I'm not the kind of guy that's ever going to be muscly and have six pack abs.
I don't think.
Don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. I just look. I'm just going to get on my tiny soapbox just for like 2 seconds. I was at my like most like proud of myself weight pre COVID, and then like I kind of like let it go. And I've just ordered myself a Fitbit because I really like the gamification of like exercise. It's something about it like does something for my brain. So I've got that coming in a couple of days. I'm excited about that. So I'm going to get back on the horse.
Yeah, you know what, Noel? I've decided I have to do exercise that I enjoy as an activity and not just get on the spinning bike. That's okay. I will do that, but I'm gonna get some golf clubs for Christmas, which I haven't played golf. I used to play golf all the time. I haven't played golf in like 20 years, but I used to love playing golf. And walking around playing 18 holes of golf is good exercise. Mm-hmm. So that is a new activity I'm gonna do. And I just need to find one more. I got a basketball.
Basketball's good.
I love basketball.
Shoot some hoops.
Yeah. I used to be pretty good at basketball. You believe that?
I do believe that.
Could you see that in me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was a point guard. I was okay. I wasn't like varsity okay, like high school varsity okay, because our high school had a really, really good basketball team. But I kind of tore up the church league, you know?
How was the competition?
Not bad.
All right.
You know, but it's church league, so there's a range. There are a few guys that are pretty good, and then there's the kid that's picking his nose and like dribbles off his foot every time he touches the ball. So that was the beauty of church sports. It was fun. It was a nice range. All right, let's do a couple more here on the old meet cute. Kent Negrete. Welcome, Kent. I don't think I know you yet.
I certainly don't know the name.
Yeah, not a traditional meet cute, but in the Royal Tenenbaums, when Margot gets off that green bus line and Richie is waiting for her, they stare at each other and Nico sings These Days in the background. Total goosebumps. I love that scene.
It's only mildly tempered by the fact that they're siblings, you know, only
adopted siblings.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That's that great line when he tells Royal, he says something about it being legal and he's like, I think it is. And he goes, well, he says something about it. Well, it's at least frowned upon, right? But he is kind of like, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah, not quite a meet cute, but that is a great scene. Worth noting.
Yeah. Let's caveat this. I would say a meet cute needs to be a first ever meeting.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. And then our old pal, let's finish up. Let's finish up with a couple of these. Yvonne Baudet says 500 Days of Summer. As soon as Summer began singing along to the music he was listening to in his headphones in the elevator they shared, he knew he had to be with her. Yeah, wasn't that a Smith song?
I don't recall.
I seem to remember that being a Smith song. I might be remembering that wrong.
That was with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah.
And what's her face? The manic
JGL
pixie
and,
dream girl.
And ZD.
Yep. Oh, man. I watched Elf again the other night after having seen it for the first time. You and I, you know, it was a thing, a challenge from you. And it is a truly delightful film. I laughed many times.
Every year.
I had the feels, enjoyed it very much. And I don't really care for holiday movies, but that one really does it for me because it's greater than just that. You know, sometimes holiday movies are branded that way almost as like a caveat where it's like, it's not that good, but it's a holiday movie, you know?
Right. Well, most of them aren't that great.
Exactly.
But Elf is definitely great. And my, I need to shout out my friend's daughters, my friend Eddie and Allison, their daughters who are, you know, like my daughters, I've grown up with them or they've grown up around me. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I was already old when they were born. Nina and Emlyn did, he sent us videos the other night of them recreating, Buddy's dance in the mailroom and they each did it. And, it was honestly, and Emily and I had a couple of glasses of wine. We died laughing. It was very, very funny.
Well,
to see a couple of cute little girls doing that Buddy the Elf dance.
That clearly involved some like wire work, wouldn't you say? Like
it did. Yeah. And because they are young and nimble, they were able to sort of approximate that last bit with the wire work in a pretty fun way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But it was a lot of fun. And I thought maybe I should try that and see how many muscles I pull.
Yeah. Love it.
All right. That's it. Oh, no. We're going to finish with one more. Our old pal, Charles Martin Akers, says, do short films count? Well, of course they do. He said, the Pixar animation short Paperman is a whole lot of feels. The Paperman.
The Paperman.
I don't think I've seen that. Have you?
It's a short?
That's what he said. Pixar short, The Paperman.
No. No, I have not.
Not to be confused with Spider-Man.
John Spider-Man, attorney at law.
I ordered that Spider-Man game. I asked the Crushers what I needed. I finished Last of Us 2, so I needed some new games. And they had a lot of great recs, Nolan. I ordered Day's End, which is another zombie thing. I ordered Ghost of Tsushima.
That's supposed to be great.
I ordered Witcher 3 and Spider-Man.
Did you get a PS5? Did I miss that part?
No. These are all for PS4. Mm-hmm. And I asked for them for Christmas is what I did. That's going to be part of my Christmas.
That's awesome, man. I that's great. The ghost, that samurai game is apparently really wonderful. I am still working my way through the DLC for Borderlands 3, which I quite love. It's a fun game, but I've been, like, I think I told you, I've been so obsessed with just playing the Switch that I haven't been doing much of big story centered games, but I need to get Last of Us 2 because I really loved Last of Us. So I think I might run out and grab that today, Chuck, today.
Yeah, you should. I mean, it's divisive.
Because, I mean, again, no spoilers, but like it's unpleasant. You have to do bad things.
Well, we'll talk about it. Maybe you and Annie and I can have a little chat about it on the show at some point. And I won't ruin anything. I will say this. I really enjoyed while I was playing it. And because I don't stop to kind of nitpick storylines. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy that world and I enjoy that gameplay of that world. It was only afterward that I started to have story issues.
That makes sense. That's fine. Yeah. It's acceptable.
And that's all I'll say.
I mean, what I'm saying is I think it's acceptable to, I think it's a video game. It can have like the occasional plot hole as long as it's not so glaring when you're actually in it that it disrupts the experience. You know what I mean?
Right. Which it did for a lot of people. But
I don't know what you're talking
super
about.
Gamer,
I'm going to go right into it.
I'm hard on games like that. Mm-hmm. I don't get my knickers in a twist, as they say.
Don't do
in
it,
England.
Chuck. No need.
All right, we're going to finish up, though, my friend, with a follow-up to the Meet Cute, which is, what is your most devastating movie breakup?
Interesting.
You know? You got one? Or do you give a shit?
I don't give a shit about movie romance, Chuck. No, I mean,
it's all fake.
I don't know. It's not really a breakup, but like when Macaulay Culkins get killed by those bees in My Girl, that was pretty devastating. And they were sort of a couple, kind of. They were a young love.
It's quite a breakup.
Yeah.
He broke off from being alive.
That's right.
He broke up with living. All right. Courtney Hoover says, not a devastating breakup, but I went to see the movie The Breakup in theaters with a friend of mine who was having a rough patch in her marriage. Big mistake. She sobbed through the whole movie. I really enjoyed that movie, Noel, with Vince Vaughn and Jen Aniston. And I think it was mismarketed as a romantic comedy, and it was really a pretty big of a bummer movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that?
No.
It's about a breakup.
Okay.
Like, it says it on the thing, but you see those two.
Yeah.
And the trailer is a little misleading, and right. You think, oh, well, this is going to be a cute movie, really. I know it's about a breakup.
Is there humor in it, though, or is it, like, pretty...
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, there's humor in it, but it's about a breakup. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Our old friend Anna Shrestha says, cheating because it's not a movie, but spoiler, there's a spoiler, in Outlander, what is that, a video game?
It's a television series. It's like about time travel or something and like historical drama.
All right, so there's a spoiler for Outlander, folks, coming up in a second. When Claire has to go back to get her time and leave Jamie to probably die in battle, I cried so goddamn hard.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset about that.
Really?
Yeah.
On the thread, people are like chiming in, knowing what the fuck this person's talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Kathy Lowe McRae, one of our top friends. Franz?
Franz is a thing people say. No, Franz is a thing people say. My Franz.
The end of marriage and Mrs. Doubtfire. The fight they have after he throws a rager for the kid's birthday party. Never seen anything that felt so real. Yeah. Gabby Jarrett says Moulin Rouge when she has to pretend she doesn't love him.
Is there a song around that?
Or around what?
Around this whole pretending she doesn't love him?
Oh, I'm sure.
There has to be.
Jenna Van Balen, one of our old friends, says poor misunderstood and accidentally dangerous Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah. Sigh. That's the heartbreaking part. It really is that Frankenstein trope, kind of, you know, where it's like he means well, but he doesn't know his own strength, his own power.
Yeah, totally. One of our oldest friends, Adam Pelletier, says the puffy chair. They basically slowly break up the whole damn movie. Did you see that?
It's called The Puffy Chair?
Uh-huh. It was a Duplass thing.
No.
Duplass Brothers, one of their early, I hate saying this, but mumblecore
things.
Oh,
yeah. I love the Duplasses. No, I'll have to check it out. I haven't seen many of those. I've seen, they're so interesting because they, you know, were in that show... the younger one was in that show Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor, which was great. It was I think the same showrunner that did Jill Soloway, who did Six Feet Under, which is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the older brother is in that show The League, which is just kind of a goofball broad comedy show on FX that I really like with Nick Kroll. Yeah. But I knew them more. Yeah, exactly. I knew them more from those worlds than I realized after the fact that they made all these weirdo indie films. So I need to dig into that part of their career.
Yeah, I love
career.
Those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Barry King says, Good Will Hunting, when Matt Damon's character tells Minnie Driver, I don't love you, because he was too stubborn to let her help him, and it clearly breaks both their hearts. Oh, boy, that was tough. Love that movie.
So good. How did you feel about the other one, Finding Forrester? It was sort of like almost too similar, but still quite good.
It was all right.
Yeah. Okay.
It was no Good Will Hunting.
Fair.
Punch the keys. Wasn't that the big line that everyone made fun of?
Well, no, he was just, you're the man now, dog.
Yeah.
That was the big one.
Oh, goodness. Kelly Ferris Mark says, Casablanca, Wuthering Heights. And even though I didn't like the movie, when Carrie sees Big... in the street right after he leaves her at the altar, that got me. Sex in the City movie,
Oh, I thought she was talking about the movie Big and referring to Tom Hanks's character as Big. That would have been funny.
That was a sad breakup.
That was a sad breakup.
Emily and I went to a river cabin for a weekend for her birthday recently and did something we never do when we do something like that. We actually turned on the TV late at night and it had cable, and I haven't had cable in so long. It's like, this is like being in a hotel. You just flip it around until you see something. And Big came on. And we had the best time watching that movie. So much fun.
I just remember thinking it was really weird where when he has that sex scene and like he's a little kid, but he's, you know, he's an adult on the outside, but he's a little kid on the inside. So something was a little off, and, you know, I don't know. But I was a little kid. So it was kind of hot. Like I was like, ooh, little kid, get it. Yeah. But looking at it now, it's a little strange.
Yeah, sure. One of our old friends, Brittany Story, says, up in the air, George Clooney's character had finally opened up his jaded heart to the possibility of love, flew to Chicago to surprise the woman he wanted to be with, only to find out she was living a double life and was married with children. Mm. Broke my heart. Yeah, that was tough, man, because she just gives him that look. She denies knowing who he is and is like wrong number, basically, when her husband shows up. That was hard. I was so mad at her for that.
Didn't see it.
Oh, Up in the Air is great.
I know. That was an Oscar-y movie, I believe.
Yeah, it was a really, really good movie. Great, just great all the way around. Great writing, great performances. One of my favorites that year. All right, let's finish up with a couple of more here. One of our oldest friends, Austin Handler, says, it just happened to catch one while watching a bit of Chasing Amy during lunch. When Holden breaks up with Alyssa after finding out the origins of her finger cuffs nickname, just brutal. Joey Lauren Adams does an amazing job selling the devastation. Her performance is so raw and totally convincing. Yeah, man, she was great in that. I don't think she gets a lot of love as an actor. And at least in that role, she was fantastic. And that's one of the few Kevin Smith movies I think is good.
Chasing Amy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Kevin Smith's, it's sort of his own thing. Like, it's not... None of it's like spectacular, but there's something I like. Dogma. Did you hate Dogma? People seem divided by Dogma.
Nah.
It's such a big swing, you know. I got to give the guy props for making a gross out, you know, buddy comedy about the apocalypse. You know, it was pretty forward thinking at the time.
I love Clerks when it came out. Mm-hmm. I was a big Clerks guy, and I like Mallrats. I was on Team Kevin Smith for a bit.
Mm-hmm. He certainly was one of those early indie darlings that was like, look what you made. Look what you did. And you did that.
I mean, he came out of nowhere and made a movie for nothing. Yep. And it was a big hit. I mean, kudos to him. Megan Carroll, one of our old friends, says, Brokeback Mountain. After their last fight, you just see that they have that sick feeling that nothing will be the same after that. Oh, boy. That movie was devastating. So, so sad. And let's finish up here with... a bunch of people said Blue Valentine. So we'll go with David Lasoya says Blue Valentine. Movie takes the piss out of everyone. That's a tough movie, Noel.
Yeah, I've heard. Another one that I kind of avoided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a tough one. So that's it for this week, my friend. We are knocking these out in regularity for the next few weeks because we're going to do something we don't normally do and stock up a little and take a few weeks off there at the end of December. So we'll get into some Christmas content and holiday movie content coming up here probably next week. Does that sound good?
Definitely does.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.